Okay, we're picking up on the bottom of Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. This is the conclusion of the daf from this morning. We pick up about 10 lines from the bottom, quoting a piece from Mishnah Hakotzes Netiyosav, which was part of what Rabbi Akiva answered to the perpetrator in the story, was that not only are you not allowed to injure somebody, even if that person would be injuring themselves, he also said that if you see somebody cutting down their own fruit trees, that does not give you the license to go ahead and cut those down as well. You know, the same premise that if somebody is doing something that's damaging them, that doesn't mean that other people have the right to do that same thing to them. So continuing now in terms of the halachos of cutting down fruit trees. Tani Rabba Bar Bar Chana Kame Derav Shori Haragta Niti Osi Katzatzta. So one person goes and claims, or he accuses another, and he says, "You killed my shore, or you cut down my fruit tree." Ata, and the person says back to him, "Ata Marti Li Lahargo, Ata Marti Li Lekotzitzo." But his response, the response is, well, you instructed me to go ahead and kill your shore, or you instructed me to go down and cut down that tree. In those cases, putter. So the Brisa says that that is a valid excuse. So Amalei, Rav says back to Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Im kein lo shavakta chai livriyasa kol kamine. If you're going to believe this claim, if we're going to go so far as to believe somebody's claim of you instructed me to kill that animal, or you instructed me to cut down that tree, then you're going to throw out many cases of nezikin, because it's a very easy claim for the defendant to make, and it will make it very hard to then go ahead and prove that claim is false. And if we allow that defense and believe the defendant in those sort of cases, we're going to uproot a lot of nezikin cases. So Amar Lai, so Rabba Bar Chana says back to Rav, so Ismaya, should I delete this brisa? Should I remove it from my memory and not quote it anymore? Amar Lai, Rav says back, lo, you don't have to get rid of the brisa. Rather, tisragim masnisach, we'll explain it as b'shor ha'omed lahariga uve'ilan ha'omed l'ketzitza. Rather, this must be a case where it is a shore that is supposed to be killed, or a tree that is supposed to be knocked down. And Rashi gives us some insight on what will be a tree that's allowed to be cut down. An Asherah tree is either a tree that was used for avodah zarah, or kol eitz hanotel u'shtarabim u'misyarei shema yipol al adav v'yamas, or let's say you have an old weak tree that's leaning into rishus harabim that looks like it's going to fall. So again, it can be taken down so as to not damage people in rishus harabim. So in those cases where there's some sort of credence to the defendant's claim of why he would have been instructed by the owner to kill the animal or to take down the tree, so only in those cases would such a defense be believed. But in general, just making a claim that you were instructed to do it by the owner is not going to be a valid defense unless you have some sort of corroborating evidence behind it, like in this case where you either have a tree that's waiting to be cut down, or an animal that is waiting to be killed. So the question is, so if this tree is already going to be cut down, or this shore is going to be killed, then what exactly is the owner claiming? What's the damage? This tree was already going to be taken down. Because the owner could say, I was the one who wanted to perform this mitzvah. I was the one who wanted to go ahead and take this action. We've seen a brisa, v'shafach v'kisa. Right, we look at the pasuk that talks about kisu adam. It says, "V'shafach es damo v'chisaho ba'afar," that you spill the blood and you cover it with dirt. Misha shafach yichasa. So the limit of that pasuk is the one who does the shechita is the one who has the first mitzvah to cover up the blood and do the kisui. U'masa be'echad sheshachat v'kadum chaveru v'kisa. And there was once a case that came before Rabbi Gamliel, where one person did the shechita and someone and his friend came ahead and did the kisui hadam in his place. V'chayvu Rabbi Gamliel litam asara zehuvim, and Rabbi Gamliel was mechayv that person who sort of usurped the mitzvah, 10 pieces of gold. Okay, continuing on. Amar Rav. Rav says, Dikla in kaba asur lo miktsase. So now we're going to go a little bit deeper into the halachos of cutting down trees. So Rav says if you have a palm tree that produces a kav, that is when it becomes asur to cut it down. So Meisvei asks a question: kami yehi bezayis v'lo yiktsazu rova. So another brayso or question of how much from an olive tree does an olive tree have to produce in order for it to be within the issur of not cutting it down? It says rova, only a quarter of a kav. So is it a kav or is it a quarter of a kav? So shani zeisim tachashivi. The Gemara tells us no. It depends on what type of tree it is. This tree that's producing olives, which are of greater value, so a quarter of a kav is enough. But the dekel, the palm tree, that needs to produce a full kav in order to be within the iser of cutting it down. So Amar Rabbi Chanina, again, further on this point, Chanina says, Lo shachiv shivchas bri, ella dekatz te'enasa belo zimna. He said, my son Shivchas only passed away because he cut down a fig tree too early. Amar Ravina, Ravina says further, v'imayim u'ula bedamim mutar. But Ravina comes along and qualifies this ruling of not being able to cut down a fruit tree to say that if the tree would be worth more, if the wood of the tree is more valuable than the fruit, then it would be mutter to cut it down. Because, you know, the issue being more of a bal tashchis issue, where cutting it down for no purpose, where you're losing the value of the tree, that is what's aser. But if you're cutting it down for a specific purpose, which in this case is you are cutting it down because it's more valuable for the wood than for the fruit tree, so that would be mutter. Tanya Amihachi, and we see this well in Ebraisa. Bryce is going to quote a pasuk. The pasuk is dealing with a case where you're besieging a city, and the pasuk tells us, "Rak etz asher tedaki lo etz machal hu osot ashkiz vekarata." Only if you want to go ahead and cut down to use the wood of the trees outside the city which you are besieging, then you can only do it to trees that are not fruit bearing trees. But we have a limud, we dissect the pasuk. So the braisa says, Rak eitz asher teda, the first part of the pasuk, right? Only a tree that you know. Ze ilan ma'achal, that is referring to a fruit bearing tree. And Rashi tells us it is the second to last. Rashi, Rak eitz asher teda, kro yaseirahu. So there's extra words in this pasuk. The havelei lemichtav, Rak asher lohu ma'achal. It doesn't have to say eitz asher teda, kilo eitz ma'achal, but it could have just said rak asher lohu ma'achal. So we have an extra word of asher teda. So Rashi tells us eitz ma'achal v'hachi kamar. Rak eitz asher teda im eincha yodea karav l'matzar elohu. So the limud is, if you know that this tree, which even though it is a fruit-bearing tree, is the closest one and only one available that's close to the city to be able to cut down to use its wood, then you can take that one. If you know that this is the only tree that's close enough to be usable for the wood near the city, even if it's an eitz ma'achal, you can cut it down. So that's the first part of the pasuk. Kilo eitz ma'achal hu, the second part of the pasuk, that it is not a fruit-bearing tree, ze'ilan srak, that refers to a tree that is not fruit-bearing. And that one also you're permitted to cut down in order to use its wood. So the Kumara asks, v'chimi achar shesofa l'rabos kol davar, matam lomar, kilo eitz ma'achal. So if the pasuk was allowing us to use even a fruit-bearing tree, if it's the one that's closest to the city, then why does it have to have a limud to bring in non-fruit-bearing trees? So la'aktim srak l'machal, it must be, because if you have a choice between the two trees, you need to prioritize. First, you should take down the tree that is non-fruit-bearing, and only then, and only if you are forced to, do you take down the tree that is fruit-bearing. Top of Tzadi Beis, Yachal afilum ula bedamim. I would have thought maybe this applies that even in a case where the fruit-bearing tree is more valuable to be used for wood, like we talked about earlier, then still I'd have to take the non-fruit-bearing tree down first. Tamad lomar rak. No, the pasuk says, uses the word rak as a miut, and therefore it removes that from the qualification. And so if you do have a situation where you have a choice of taking down the fruit-bearing tree or non-fruit-bearing tree, generally we say you take down the non-fruit-bearing tree, but if that fruit-bearing tree happens to be more valuable for its wood than for its fruit, then you know you do not have to prioritize the Ilan Sarak, the non-fruit-bearing tree. You can even take down the fruit-bearing tree. And then the Gemara will bring in two more stories highlighting this similar point of exceptions to taking down fruit-bearing trees. Shmuel, Aisile Arise Tamre. So Shmuel's sharecropper brought him some dates. Achil, he ate them. Ta'imbuhu, Taima Dachamra. And Shmuel, he tasted a bit of wine in those dates. Amarle, Mayai. He said to the sharecropper, what does this taste? Why do I taste some wine in these dates? Amarle, Beini Gufni Kaimi. So the sharecropper said back to Shmuel, this tree was planted in between a vineyard, right in the middle of the vines. So Amar, Shmuel said back, Bechachashi Bechamra Kulei Hai, is it really weakening, this date tree is weakening the my vineyards so much, or weakening the vines so much. Lamachar Aisali Mekorayu. Tomorrow I want you to bring me the root of this tree. Meaning to say, I want you to cut down this tree because it is clearly taking nourishment from the vines and the wine is more valuable. So I want to take it down. Similar story, Rav Chisda, Chazet Tali Begufni. Rav Chisda saw these palm samplings that were growing near his vines. Amarle La Arise Akrinhu. So Rav Chisda said to the sharecropper, I want you to uproot those palm samplings. Gufni Kani Digle. Why? Because from the vineyards, from the produce of the vineyards, the wine and the grapes, I can go ahead and buy I can go ahead and buy a field where I can plant more of these palm samplings. But particularly Lokani Gufni, but what the fruit that comes from the Dekel is not going to be valuable enough that I can go ahead and buy vineyards with it. So again, the same point of saying, generally there is a prohibition of taking down fruit-bearing trees, but if in the case where you're doing it for a productive purpose and not a destructive purpose because the use is more valuable for some other purpose, either because you're cutting it down because the wood of that fruit-bearing tree is more valuable, or now we see from these two stories of Shmuel and Rav Chisda, even in a case where there you're not getting the best use out of the fruit-bearing tree, you're just going to cut that down for no purpose for that particular tree, but generally, it is benefiting you because those fruit trees are harming your vineyards or something else that is more valuable. So we see there are exceptions to that isser of cutting down a fruit tree, and generally, the idea, philosophy behind it is, as long as it is being done for a specific purpose or for the best good, it seems to be permitted.